freaking out.
At the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. Doing it the high way, not the hard way.
Food Network's Restaurant Impossible's Tom Berry talks tools, frog tape, and breaking wrecked restaurants out of their bad habits.
And Enviro activist Ed Begley Jr. jumps in to talk about ways to save the world, save a box, Phil Green, and life in Hollywood.
Tool up, it's my Fix It Up Life, Breakout Edition.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we badly referee. So glad you walked into my life. Into my Fix It Up Life.
And you are inside my Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa. And we're in fabulous Las Vegas, Nevada at the National Hardware Show.
We are. I love being in Vegas.
Well, for the amount of time we've been here, we've seen the airport, the insides of our eyelids, and the insides of this convention center.
Well, that's not a bad thing because there's so much here at the National Hardware Show. I think there's like a gazillion different kinds of gadgets and gizmos here.
That's the official count.
Yes.
A gazillion.
A gazillion.
But we're inside.
And there's stuff for big kids, little kids, all kinds of people. We were playing with like this little miniature billiard table earlier today.
That was awesome.
So cool.
Have you seen that?
I have not.
Corey Talbot from Hyde Tools. We're inside the Hyde Tools booth, which it's not even a booth. I don't like that word. In fact, I personally resent you for having to use it. But
what did I do?
Yeah, I don't know. I could just get away with it. It's awesome.
The Hyde area. It's the world of Hyde.
It's nice and open and roomy.
Yes.
And we've got
and
all kinds of cool things going on.
Spinning thing up there, too.
We got a spinny thing.
You do?
I paid extra for that spinny thing.
Where do you get that? Who do you call to get on the phone to make a spinny thing like that?
I have people.
You do?
Yeah.
You have people that make spinny
people.
Things, yeah.
It's good people that spin things like that.
Well, and you're showing off some other cool things that good people are making at Hyde, and you're holding one of them in your hand right now.
I am.
And I'm holding one of them on my hand.
It is on your hand, right. So which one do you want to talk about first?
I don't know. I think the one in your hand, because
okay.
I love that thing.
This thing is cool. This actually was first developed by a painter. It was something that they used for airless spray guns. He came up with a tool that allowed you to slide the handle back and forth, and what it did was it pivot the tip back and forth, and what that helps with is being able to get the paint on the right places on the wall without having to stoop down or get up really high in the air with your hands. It just makes it a lot easier on your body.
And that's the pivot jet, and
yes.
It's awesome for cleaning all kinds of things.
Yeah, but it's for this particular
one.
Item is for cleaning things.
Yes, this is actually going to be used with water, and it's something that just fits on your garden hose. So it's just got a piece that attaches to the bottom here right under your garden hose. But it works on that same premise as what came from the professional painters. And what we're finding is it's got tons of, I mean, everybody knows what a garden hose is. And you go outside and you spray your stuff down or anything else like that. But what we found is with the lots of different chemicals that are out there now that are more earth-friendly that you could utilize on your decks or on your house and things like that and not have to worry about killing your plants or your dogs or whatever it is that's
right,
going in the neighborhood.
We don't like that so much.
No, that's not good.
There's a reason why we have plants and dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ed Begley is coming by later.
Right.
Yes, he is. Yes.
Which I'm going to get off on a tangent, but thanks so much for having me on before him because last time I had to follow him. Oh, boy, that was not easy. So I appreciate it. But the big deal about this is that you slide the handle, and instead of having to, you know, get down on your knees and get underneath something, like if you've got something like a lawnmower or you've got the bottom of your deck or your foundation where it's all got the dirt and grime and everything else on there, this allows you to do it without having to, you know, bend down and strain your back. If you wanted to do a swivel to the top, it allows you to get up on top of things up in gutters. It allows you to get up on top of railings on your deck as well or in between things. It's just it's so handy anytime you just don't want to use your body for something.
Right.
Personally, I've washed my car probably 400 times in the last 6 months just because of this thing. It's fun.
You must have one clean car.
Well, there's no paint left on it.
So. Are you going around to like neighbors and saying, can I clean your car?
Yeah,
can
I'm making
your
more
car?
Money than here. No, I'm only kidding.
Now, I'm a tool geek, so I have to ask, I have to key in on something you said before. When Hyde develops tools, develops products, are you going out to pros come to you? Like, this obviously came, there's a story,
yes,
one,
a long
two, three.
Story. Right. This was 10 years. 10 years ago, they actually partnered up with a gentleman named Kevin Shroud. Hi, Kevin. But he's a great guy. And throughout the years, over the 10 years, we've developed more and more products with him. He was a professional painter who turned into an inventor, who's more like a tinkerer.
Right.
And what's great about that is, you know, that one guy goes to the next guy and tells, or girl, and says, Hyde is great to work with. They know how this, how, you know, they know that our passion for these things. They understand what they're doing. They understand your needs, and it's a good partnership. So usually it's a professional that comes to us in many cases. Other ways we do it is we'll go out there and we'll do things like focus groups or things like that, where we'll try to find out a specific feature or something that's happening wrong with a tool to make it better so that it's either, you know, happens faster or stronger or better than it would in the past.
Now,
so,
is that where this came from?
This actually
the
is a
glove that I am wearing on my that matches
Teresa,
my outfit.
Teresa got
I want to thank
from,
you.
From Cartier Jewelers. Sorry, didn't mean to mention a competitor.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that is. I love this glove for because it's both these products are different from what Hyde used to do, which was more the professional painter. This kind of branches Hyde out into lots of different areas, different types of people in their regular lives. I get painters that pick this up now. They're not using it to do on their professional job, so to speak, but they see the value in it because they utilize the piece that's for painting, and they go, you know, I can see why that would work. And they'll go home and they'll use it for washing their car or something else like that. On the glove, it was a professional painter that came to us last year at this show.
You're kidding.
I was packing up the booth, and this guy is standing over me. I'm packing boxes. I just wanted to go home, and I'd been here for a week. You know?
Oh, right, yeah,
and
yeah.
I had no money left. Anyway, so he just starts talking, and I'm listening, and he goes, yeah, and the retailers love it. I said, really? Well, who'd you talk to? And he started to tell me who, and the next thing I know, 3 weeks later, we had a contract with him. He had already taken the product and gotten it to the point where it was almost done, and he needed some help, you know, finding a vendor that he could count on and how you go about making sure that it's going to last as long as it's supposed to and that there's the technology involved with it is something that's proven out. All those types of things that Hyde
can help
with.
So you're getting behind the people solving the problems and then bringing that to market.
Yes.
I'm bringing us to a break. So we'll be back with more from the Hyde booth at the National Hardware Show and more on My Picking Up Life.
If you could only feel right, she loves me.
Add more curb appeal to your home.
Create a memorable entrance with Therma-True fiberglass doors and Fypon synthetic trim that won't warp, crack, or rot.
And give you those rich details that make your home a showpiece.
Make your great entrance by visiting Therma-True.com and Fypon.com.
Pamper your skin the way nature intended with Green Street Luxuries. Green Street Luxuries offers you vegan and vegetarian-friendly homemade luxury soaps, lotions, and skincare products that have natural and healing ingredients. Try Green Street Luxuries today at greenstreetlux.com.
There is light in.
And we are blowing out of here to win at the Hyde Tools booth at the National Hardware Show with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
Her husband, Mark. And one of the big winners from Food Network's wildly popular show. And I'm going to say this like my father-in-law, Restaurant Impossible.
Restaurant.
Restaurant. Not restaurant. Restaurant.
Is that how he says it, really?
That's how he says
it. That's how
it.
My father says
Cannot
it.
Not make it up.
Yeah.
Tom Burr,
also,
contractor and designer from Food Network.
Hey, guys. Good to see you.
Well, I want to give my dad a little bit of credit. He is a lawyer. He graduated from Georgetown Law. He taught there for a while.
That's the way you say it legally.
And he also says
library. Legally, it's restaurant.
He also says library, too. So,
oh, library?
Yes, library.
I'm going to let it say, if he's a lawyer.
He's a lawyer. Don't argue with him.
Whatever.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, whatever he could say. He's a lawyer. He can't be wrong.
Well, you know, Food Network, yeah, Restaurant Impossible. You brought a present here to share with us from Frog Tape. That is
super.
The coolest thing I've seen in a long time.
And you
me
also,
too.
And you also brought a look on your face when she said that. Yeah.
I know. I know you're on, like, this really popular TV show.
Well, because I'm super excited about it, too. I mean, this is the first time we're really getting to see it in public, right? It's a brand-new launch. It's called Shape Tape from Frog Tape. It is amazing. The same Frog Tape technology, the paint block in the tape, but in the most amazing shapes. Right now we have three shapes launched. It's the chevron, which is as you guys know,
ridiculous.
Like in everything,
yeah.
Clothing, every single thing. We've seen it so much. I've done so much of it. We did something on Rachel Ray, actually. We did this cool chevron pattern, and I spent five hours taping that chevron pattern out. And now we have it right here. It's in a roll. So, if you can imagine why I'm excited about it, because literally, I mean, and not only that, but you could see this. This is a scallop. And the byproduct, by putting the tape in different positions, like backwards next to each other, you end up getting all types of patterns. And this literally is like the tip of the iceberg. This is the stuff we've just been looking at, and I haven't had a chance to go crazy with it. And I'm really excited to use it on the show, personal life. I can't wait to get, I mean, this is why I'm so excited. I can't.
Well, I'm kind of like thinking you could do like a frame. Like, you could do, like, little frames and then paint, like, a chalkboard or some kind of paint inside of it in, like, your kid's room, and it would be totally the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, and yeah. I can see you're like, okay, we can talk about these things, but there's 2,000 more that I know are coming.
There's going to be a lot. I mean, you know, we were talking about, it's just a great way to incorporate into a lot of things. For example, I kept saying, like, on the show, we're always stuck with these bad chairs, right? There's always a lot of, there's issues with chairs. Oh, issues, chairs and floor. Like the biggest thing. So problem we have with the chairs, painting the chairs, always a disaster, as you guys know. I thought it'd be so cool to start incorporating, like, imagine having a little pattern on like the back of the chair that tied into the walls.
Yeah.
All of a sudden those chairs that looked terrible, you know, an hour ago are brand new and work with the restaurant. I mean, that's design. That's how you do everything. So, and accessories, I mean, tying it into your like lampshades, whatever. I mean, it's just, it's a really exciting product. We've been like, people have been coming by all day, and I like I said, I'm taking some home with me today.
You're going to put it in your suitcase.
I already stole some. They don't even know about it. I got it right now.
So here's a Restaurant Impossible question that's slightly making fun of you a little bit.
Uh-huh. Right.
Slightly true. Is it a rule that restaurants that are failing at some point in their history put in carpet? It just seems like every time I turn it on, you guys are peeling up carpet that's been glued down.
I've seen more bad carpet from restaurants in so far than I ever want to see again. I have no idea why people keep putting it in. And the horrible patterns, too. I mean, it's just like they're dirty, they're smelly, it's impossible to clean. And the first thing I do is rip it out. The second I rip it out, I'm like, oh, this place is already better. Let's call it a day. Let's get out of here.
Well, I want to ask you, because you have been the designer and the contractor on episodes now.
Yeah, I've done several.
Now, is that like more pressure on you, or are you like, yeah, now I can do whatever I want?
I'll tell you, I thought it was going to be, yeah, I can do whatever I want. And I found out, and I have to give a lot of credit to the designers on the show, it is hard work. It is just so much extra pressure because it's all the little things that you forget, besides like the paint and the flooring and all that stuff which you got to get through. It's the centerpieces, it's possibly flowers, it's the decor, it's all those little things that tie the restaurant together. If you don't have those together and not organized right when you get, forget it. I mean, you'll be running around to stores for the whole shoot before you have anything. So you really have to have your stuff together. It's really, really hard.
And you did that on top of the actually applying the paint and actually building the restaurant.
I was actually both. I was the contractor. So I was like my own worst enemy. I was literally like, I really want to do this. And I was like, this is going to take way too long, but I really, really want to do it. So
that would be fun to film. Like
they did
side
film
by
it.
Side,
they did. And Robert came in and yelled at me.
Yeah.
And that was it.
Yeah.
So Robert came in and made the decisions for me right away. But, you know, it was great to do. I'm a designer as well. I'm an architect, and I love doing that. So once in a while when they let me do it, it's great. It feels really good. But only once in a while. I can't handle it.
Well, yeah. I mean, is it really something you can sustain, being both those players on such an intense job?
Definitely not. The job of just being a contractor is so huge, and to do three a month like we're doing right now, being both, not going to happen. So I'm barely able to get through, you know, being just the contractor, let alone doing both. So I like doing it once in a while, and I'm looking forward to that chance again, but I need a break for a while. I'm just going to stay with building, you know, keep it that.
Nice. So since you travel so much, when you go home, do you ever eat out? Do you ever go to restaurants, or do you only
or
like
do you not have any food in your house?
Absolutely no food.
Your refrigerator unplugged.
Mayonnaise and like
I
some mustard.
I have zero food in my house. I literally walk in, that refrigerator is immaculately clean and empty because there's nothing. I travel so much, I'm never around. But I go out all the time. I mean, I consider going out like for what I do. I mean, I build restaurants not only for the show, but my business division 9, design and construction. we do restaurants. So going out for me is like a necessary thing because I'm always seeing new restaurants, you know, meeting new chefs, possibly new clients of mine. So, and it's important to see all the trends, to see what's in, what's not in, what works, finding cool stuff. So I do eat out a lot. And I know people get all scared from eating out, from watching the show. They're like, I'm never going to eat out again. And I'm like, listen, that's a portion of the restaurants, and we're trying to help those out. There's a lot of good restaurants out there.
Now, are you a food guy? Do you have a sophisticated palate, or a regular palate? Like, you know the subtleties and things that Robert talks about on the show and other chefs key in on?
I'm an eater. I just like to eat. So I don't mind. I like all kind of food. I like everything. So I've never been afraid of something I won't try. Sophisticated palate, not so much. Sitting next to Robert and meeting all these chefs, I definitely would not say anything about the food. They're the ones handling that.
Right.
It's good or bad.
This has a Malay reduction from berries in France.
Right.
You're like, yeah, it tastes like meat.
And I'm like, this is good meat. This is great.
My belly's full.
Yeah.
I'm full.
Yeah,
how much scotch goes with this?
Exactly.
So, yeah, at your company, Division 9, mm-hmm. you work with your college friends, correct?
Yeah, I have two partners that we partnered up after college, like way after college, but we went to school together and studied architecture, and we all kind of ended up with a construction company. I don't know how that happened, but we did it. And, we still do a ton of work, and I couldn't do it without those guys. I mean, they're really managing the whole thing while I'm gone. I'm gone all the time, and there's no people like, how do you do it? I'm like, I don't. I've got two other guys that are doing the whole thing. I come in, and I'm like, how's the restaurants going? They're like, great. I'm like, great. Nice to see them all, you know? So I'm really handling Restaurant Impossible, and they're kind of handling the stuff we're doing back home. But it's exciting to do both. We love doing the show, and we're helping people, and we can't stop. We're like addicted.
Helping people. I didn't hear that part. Here's the real question, because I've got like, these emotions that are all over me. I don't like it. You've pulled apart. Do you even know how many restaurants you pulled apart?
I think right now we're up to 78, is what I believe.
78.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a top five or top two most disgusting moment where you've pulled a bar out, a floorboard up, and you've been like, oh, my.
Well, I won't name restaurant names, but there's been a couple. There's one where Robert lost it, and there's one where I got real close to, like, just... We opened up this beer cooler, and I don't think it's been opened for 30 years. The smell that came out, like literally, you could feel it. It like hit you in the face, and you were just, oh, it was horrible. And then there was another one which actually recently aired where I was on my hands and knees in the kitchen patching holes in a wall, and there was cockroaches of all sizes all over me, crawling all over me. I couldn't stop them because I had to patch the wall. They were coming out of the wall, so I had to secure it.
You've got to be kidding me.
Oh, my God, they were all over me. It was so bad, I literally got back to the hotel room. The only thing I saved were my boots. Everything else I bagged and threw out of the hotel room because it smelled. I was covered in grease, and I don't want to bring cockroaches home. That's the last thing. I'm not bringing anything home. So it was literally that bad, and I mean, that was one of the worst because...
That is like Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Oh, it was, and it was crazy because it bothered me for the first couple minutes, and I'm like, I was wiping them off, and I can't stop. They're all over me. I got to finish the wall because the guy can't spray to get them out of there unless I patch the holes. So it was like, okay, here we go. This is going to be a horrible day.
Now, I'm kind of thinking that there's a producer somewhere thinking, that's a really good idea for a new show.
Were they just shoved me in those places?
Were they just put like rats on you or like, you know, blindfold you and do some like jello on you that you don't even know what it is?
Food Network's new show starring Tom Burry. Extermination Impossible.
Oh, my God. I feel like that's what it is.
I know. Construction. Disgusting. Disgusting construction.
There's something there.
We'll work on it.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to involve me. I'll tell you what. I don't want to be part of that anymore.
No,
I've seen enough of that.
But from the emotional side, you get inside these people's lives, and you're dealing with them on such a highly intense level.
Mm-hmm.
Have there been one or two that have struck you as like you're more surprisingly attached to them than you thought, or their story moves you in a certain way, and you're like, I'm going to cry on TV, and I can't do that? Or
I'll tell you what. It's especially the ones that I get to design, because with the design, you're really linked into the place, and at the same time, you're linked into the people because you're designing it for them. And there was a Greek restaurant I did called Papa's, and unfortunately, it's one of the ones that just recently closed. Out of the very few that we've lost, But those people, I mean, I called them. We were friends. We would speak on a weekly basis. And they were just, I literally, they were crying. I was basically trying not just hold it back when I came out because, but we're really, every single episode when I come out, it's, I finally go out. I look around at the restaurant. I'm like, this is amazing. And these people are just, you could see it in their face. They're so, so happy and so excited that they have that second chance, that second restaurant. And to be honest, it's what keeps me doing it because at 4 or 5 in the morning, and you guys have been there, at 5 in the morning, I'm not the happiest guy in the world. And I really am like, I'm never doing this again. But then next day, when I get to see them, it's like, I can't wait to do another one. And I can't wait to do another one. And that was 78 late, you know, ago.
Do you quit every episode? Robert, that is... I think I quit.
At 4 or 5 in the morning, I quit every episode. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm never doing this again.
Well, we would love to do this again.
Check out Tom at Tom Furry One. And the Shape Tape. Check out Shape Tape.
And we're going to go back to more from the High Boots at the National Hardware Show and more.
It was 1989, my thoughts were short, my hair was long. From somewhere between a boy and a man. She was 17, she was far from in between. It was summertime in Northern.
What's a better return on investment than remodeling a bathroom or kitchen? Replacing your windows with energy-efficient vinyl windows.
They can help you recoup 71.2% of cost and help you save on energy bills from the day they're installed.
And through the end of 2013, you can receive federal tax credits when installing ENERGY STAR qualified windows or doors.
Check out the money-saving details at simonton.com/ENERGY STAR credits.
Whether you're replacing one window or a house full of windows, adding energy-efficient vinyl windows can really pay off.
Summer long.
Oh.
Perfect time.
You know.
For cooking outside.
For cooking outdoors.
Love cooking outside.
You do? You cook outside all year round.
All year. There's no reason I can think of to not cook outside.
Well, you're from New England.
So outside is in my blood.
Yes.
And I think outside is in our guest blood. Gary House from cooking-outdoors.com.
Uh-huh.
Hi. Welcome.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you.
You are an outdoor cooking expert.
I am. I don't ever use the word expert because I think it's a growing process. I mean, every time I turn around and open up my grill, I'm doing something different. And that's what I do. So I hope I'm never, ever, ever an expert.
Okay, so
I would be done.
That's a beautiful sentiment. I really like that. Give me a second to
enjoy
that.
I'll give you a second to enjoy it.
Whenever you need a second to enjoy it, it's 15 minutes.
Yes,
and we're all talking about unicorns galloping by and all this other stuff.
Well, I want to ask a serious question.
Of course you
do. Grilling versus outdoor kitchens. Now, you know, somebody has a traditional just the grill. You know,
for example,
like Mike, my husband.
Wire grill.
Just the grill. And has at it. Or somebody who goes crazy and has one of those gorgeous outdoor kitchens and they have the refrigerator and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot more bling.
Now, how do you feel? Is that keeping true to the whole, like, outdoor?
Absolutely. Just because you have more toys doesn't mean you're grilling. You know, we call the process, let's go out and barbecue. You know, but in reality, what we're doing is grilling because barbecue is completely different than grilling. It's cooking with smoke only. And cooking over a long period and real slow. You get a lot of these big fancy kitchens. I mean, they've got rotisseries in there and side burners and stereo systems and LED lights and all this great bling. But I guarantee you, if you just go out and take a little round kettle grill, you can knock anybody's socks off if you just know what kind of tools and techniques to use.
What are they?
You can add all kinds of things. A lot of people, keep in mind, a grill is just like your oven, okay? And if you can think of it that way, your stovetop. You can put cast iron skillets in there. You can put pots in there. You can cook on lava stone. You can cook on salt blocks. You can cook on wood planks. You can add chips to it to smoke. It is endless what you can do. And my whole philosophy is if you can cook it indoors, I can cook it outdoors. You know, I may not have a blender hooked up, but, you know, a mixer. But I got a cowboy masher that I can take to it. And so, really, there's no limit. You just got to let your imagination rip, you know, and do it.
So when you are choosing if the grill for your house, for example, mm-hmm. is propane, wood, charcoal, do you prefer one? Is one better for maybe for grilling snobs or purists or what have you?
Well, you're going to get a lot more bling with a propane grill or a gas grill because then it could put lighted dials on there and, you know, and a rotisserie and infrared burners and all these great things that you really can't add very well to a charcoal grill. Mm-hmm. But you can't beat the flavor of charcoal when you're grilling. You know, it's just impossible. You get that enhanced wood flavor, and it's hard to beat. So
that's the advantage, I guess, is you get the flavor versus maybe the convenience of just turning it on and going to town.
Yeah, cooking in 5 minutes compared to cooking in 20 minutes. I mean, most people are going to reach for that five-minute window because they just got off work and they just want to go and throw a couple burgers on the grill. You know, and even with propane, you should preheat it for a good 15 or 20 minutes. Most people don't. They want that instant satisfaction, and they get a lot of fail from that by just turning it on and throwing some food on there.
So, yeah, I'm getting a leg tap. She's to the question first.
I'm just thinking about, you know, whenever anyone has a lovely outdoor party, mm-hmm. there's always the guy that steps up to do the grilling. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily the homeowner or the person hosting the party. Do all eyes always fall on you, or do just people, I'm curious.
Like if you're at someone else's party.
Yes.
Do they assume you're going to cook for 20 people?
Or 40 people, or whatever it is.
But I get a lot of, well, Gary knows how to do it. Go ask Gary. I get a lot of that.
Yes.
You know, it's like, okay, I'll make something up. I'm all right with that.
Yes.
But luckily I haven't been sucked into, you know, taking over the party. Though I would certainly do it and enjoy it.
Do people get nervous when they have you over?
Yeah. Yeah.
And like, oh, am I doing this right?
Yeah, don't look at me. Yeah.
Go inside and check out the new whatever we just bought.
Probably not as good as yours.
Yeah.
I get that a lot. Yeah, but it's all good.
Well, I've seen a bunch of things at cookingoutdoors.com, mm-hmm. and you've got Dutch ovens there, mm-hmm. which is not, I'd never seen it before.
Oh.
What even is it?
Well, it's been around for a few hundred years, and actually cast iron cooking in South Africa and such, the Campachicos, and they've been doing it for hundreds of years there. The peddlers introduced it into the United States and America during the colonial days. Lewis and Clark used them. They made a huge renaissance over the past several years. And it's a cast iron pot with a couple legs that you put on charcoal coals or a fire pit, and you cook incredible meals in it. I mean, it's hard to describe. I mean, the wow factor alone, when you take that lid off and you've got, you know, a stacked enchilada dish of some sort or, you know, a chili relleno or something, prime rib, you know, even. It comes out of
so they can be large.
Absolutely, and they make oval ones. I have a article on my website, and it's the world's best Dutch oven ribs, and I swear to you that these are just phenomenal. And it's an oval cast iron roaster, you know, and you cook it with charcoal. And it's that simple. There's groups that go around, and I started one a few years back. Got over 100 people that belong to it. And we go to different parks, and we sit out there, and we set up for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes. We cook for an hour, and we eat for 20 minutes, and we sit around and complain for 2 hours about how much we ate. You know, I mean, we do that. And there's even an international Dutch oven society, and they hold world championship cook-offs with the Dutch oven. So it's absolutely huge, you know, and it's really a great way. And you can take a pot, and you can put it on your grill, and it works perfectly. It ties in just fantastic.
Now, what are you cooking here at the National Hardware Show?
I just did a couple chicken halves. As I walked away, I did some kielbasa teriyaki kebabs. I'm going to do a tri-tip this afternoon. I'm going to do a five-spice shrimp and watermelon kebabs.
I'm following you out of the hide booth. But stay with us, because I'm not going to follow up right now. Check them out at cookingoutdoors.com. Check us out after the break. We'll be back. Chamber day week, and I was 17. Bought a Coke and a gasoline. I drove out to the county fair. When I saw her for the first time, she was standing there in the big line. Sanding walls before you paint? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's dust-free sander. Attach to your wet dry vac and go. No drywall dust on your furniture, no tough cleanup when you're done. Buy online at Amazon.com.
red lipstick look too hot. I don't forget, I said, I don't forget, I said, I don't forget, something like that.
You're back inside my Fix It Up Life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark.
And we're at the Hyde Tools booth at the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas. We are surrounded by tools. We're surrounded by gear. We're surrounded by cool stuff. And we're surrounded by experts.
Yes, we are. They're all afoot.
Our friend Dan Carey from Handy Magazine, the Handyman Club of America.
Handyman.
Did I pronounce that right, Dan Carey, executive editor?
Yes, that's correct, among other things. I wear a lot of hats, but yeah, it's fun to be back with you guys.
Cool. Now, what are you doing? We haven't quite seen the handy setup yet, so we're anxious to get a vibe for what you're doing.
Because it's the tool test zone.
Yes.
So
normally, my role at these trade shows and the way I got to know you guys over the years is covering the show, finding products. In the last 4 years, we've started running what's called the Handy Test Shop. So we're set up out in the what's called the tailgate area right now, so it's kind of a fun area to be in. We've got a tent, and then we held a contest. And our readers submitted basically their DIY resumes. So they fill out their experience, their knowledge. They include photos of projects they've done. And then we have to sift through. This year it was, I don't know, 800 or 900 applications, and it's no small entry to apply. I mean, they're putting some effort into this thing, and then we have to sort through and bring it down to 6.
Holy smokes!
And then we fly those 6 in, and they spend 2 days in the test shop testing tools and giving us their impressions of them, and we shoot a lot of video reviews of the tools, and so it's fun.
So what's been out there?
Well, this is day one. This morning, Hyde was out there where we are now, and so that was fun. We checked out their pivot jet and a quickly clean glove they had, and we've got a car there, so we're able to spray water and clean stuff and just actually use all this stuff. So
you can get nooks and crannies and kind of
do that
whole thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So those 6, they get to come out to Las Vegas for how many days?
3 days.
3 days, and it's just...
They're testing tools, and you know, the first year we did it, I thought, well, they're just going to want to test the tools, and then as soon as we cut them loose, it's usually kind of mid to late afternoon, we finish for the day, and I thought, well, they're just going to take advantage of this free trip to Vegas
and party,
jump in a cab, and go to the strip, right?
Yeah.
It isn't that way. These people are so hardcore, they can't wait to be cut loose. They like testing the tools, but they really want to get in to the show and walk these aisles and discover all the other stuff that's here.
Because
it is not a consumer show, so it's kind of exciting for them. They don't go to these shows. We forget that sometimes. We're kind of jaded sometimes. We see all the cool stuff.
We're kind of a little bit lucky.
Yeah,
we have to appreciate it.
You do. You have to stop and remember that.
It is true. All the first-class flights and accommodations and limos and stuff. Dan, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
I just... It's,
Mark's personal masseuse that follows him around. It's hard.
The staff, they have to stay in first class accommodations. I know.
I appreciate the fact that when I'm walking past you to my deep seat and coach through first class, that you still, and I understand that you don't say anything to me, but just that simple nod of acknowledgement that you give me.
Yeah.
I know.
I know
you recognize me from your first class seat as you're rushing up for your complimentary beverage.
I actually have a bag of rocks that I bring with me so I can throw them at people on the way by.
Yeah.
Right to where I'm sitting in seat one fiction.
Yes.
Yeah. One fiction, yes. That's one fiction, exactly.
Now, outdoor projects for Handy Magazine,
beyond
the booth and
things
you're working on for the magazine, do you have some outdoor stuff coming up?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we're based in the Twin Cities, so being in the Midwest, we've got a short outdoor season.
Yeah, August.
And not even. We had snow last week in Minneapolis. So it's a short season, and outdoor projects are definitely a top love of our audience. And so, I mean, we could do decks, picnic tables and Adirondack chairs, I think, in every issue year-round. And
people
and
just,
people just
devour
eat it up.
Yeah,
they just love it.
Yeah.
And so, we're jumping right into full swing when we get back with some A lot of outdoor projects, planters, things like that, some small decks.
Just for you personally, for an outdoor project, you know, if you could work on anything, planter, Adirondack chair, whatever it is, pergola, what would that be? What would be your favorite to dive into and really, you know, trick out? And...
I would say I like doing furniture. I came to this from the woodworking side, and so I really enjoy designing outdoor furniture and specifically modern style furniture. But if I were to pick just one thing, I'd probably do some sort of super deck of some kind. That's,
super deck.
You know, got
would,
some
would you build
cool
furniture
areas,
into
some
it,
custom
benches?
Yeah, and, you know, I like, yeah, I like just building things into the deck. So maybe, you know, putting some boulders and having the decking wrap around that where, you know, natural objects are breaking through or around a tree so that, you know, enough space so the tree keeps growing, but you leave that tree there and just work around what's there or incorporate some natural objects into it. I like doing that stuff. And, custom, you know, any kind of custom features, that kind of stuff.
Cool. So you would
deck the city park.
Sure.
What? Yeah. You'd deck the city park.
Yeah.
That would be a lot of fun.
I like some green space, too. I'm not completely deck.
It'll be underneath the deck. It'll be a high deck.
Get outside with Andy Magazine.
Get outside.
Yeah.
And Gary, get back inside with us at the high school. We'll be back more.
This day when I hear that song, I see you standing there all that long. Cat's face, the walking, zip-top cuddles. Somewhere between that setting sun, now I'm on fire and on the run. You were just me and I was done.
Looking for a no-hassles roof for your home? Da Vinci Roofscapes offers affordable slate and shake roofing tiles that add long-term beauty to your home. The synthetic Da Vinci tiles resist mold, algae, fungus, and insects. Backed by a 50-year warranty, Da Vinci roofs are fire-resistant and withstand severe weather like high winds and hail. It's no wonder thousands of homeowners have chosen Da Vinci slate and shake tiles to not only protect but enhance the beauty of their home. Learn more about award-winning Da Vinci products at DaVinciRoofscapes.com or call 1-800-328-4624 today.
And you're back inside my Fix It Up Live. We're inside the High Tools booth, the National Hardware Show in Las Vegas, and we're surrounded by, I almost don't like this word because I do like this word so much, solutions. I don't want to overuse that word, but when it comes to painting, painting is so much work.
I love painting.
I love painting. I love painted.
I love painting. It's so...
Not always. It tiles the same way.
It's meditative. Like, you go into a place of zen.
Meditative.
It's like gardening. You know, you can't really think about other things. You kind of, like,
all I think about is something else. Where can I not be
you're
painting?
You're in touch with your inner peace.
I don't have that.
Yeah.
Back to the solutions.
Hi, Corey. How are you? Can you help my husband?
From High Tools.
Help my husband.
Can I help? No, no.
You don't know what can.
He's helping me a lot lately.
Stay away from him.
I'm not getting involved.
So what are some solutions to help my husband?
Well, some of the things that I think Mark would enjoy have to do with, you brought up tile, and one of the things that we've got here, and actually it's being demonstrated right behind us, you should check it out if you haven't already, is this regrout tool. And there's about 80% of the tile that's in the market today that's in houses was put in place before the 1980s. And it's all this 1/8 or smaller grout lines. It's very fine. You see it inside of if you're in the shower or if you on your where you got your sink and in the kitchen and the backsplashes, all those types of areas. It's usually very fine grout lines. The problem is it's been there for a very long time, and there's some beautiful tile that's out there. And most people just go, boy, that grout just looks junky, and it's, you know, got mold in it and pieces of God knows what.
Can I just tell you how frustrating it is for women? Like, that is so upsetting to us when it doesn't look good. Like, it's, you know, that messes everything up.
It does, because it's attention to detail.
Yeah.
I mean, when you live in the house yourself, most people don't notice it, right? But you go there and you see every little, tiny little piece that's out of place.
Oh, I stopped seeing it 3 years ago, so I'm going to have to really pay attention.
That's the kids.
Yeah. Once, like, Barbie shoes entered our life, he just, like, all little things disappear. It has to be, like, an elephant. Yeah.
Over.
Exactly.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about, though, because, like, a stained grout line, it's like the tile's bad, but the tile, there's no
tile.
There's nothing
bad.
Wrong with the tile. And just think about the cost of ripping all that out, putting new tile in, and regrouting the whole thing. It would be thousands of dollars versus just this tool that we've got is called the regrout tool, and that's exactly what it's for. It's a little, basically a little jackhammer. And it's safer than anything else in the marketplace. It's at the best price point there is. The thing's going to cost you less than $40. And you're going to be able to put new grout in all of those places where there's, you know, browns or greens or whatever the different colors are, the stains that are there, and just refresh the entire look of the house and the entire look of that individual room for, you know, $40 versus it's literally a fraction of the cost.
So what do? Just go around all the grout lines?
It works with like a little jackhammer, but it's so safe. It's got two different tips in there. There's one that's for a chisel tip, and there's one that's actually a fine tip. And all it does is it's a little, you could put your finger right on the end of it and it won't do anything, but the vibration when you get it into the tile, into the grout, just pops the grout out. It doesn't make dust, what we'll show you up here later on. It literally just pops the grout right out of the line.
And the inventor is here too.
The inventor is here.
And what is his name?
Mike Taylor.
Mike Taylor.
And Mike and I met last year at this show, and I loved his tool so much that we got in, you know, to within a couple of months, we had, you know, totally redone what needed to be done on the tool to make sure that it was going to meet our expectations. And the consumer's expectations for
calling. I love that you're calling it a little jackhammer, because that is so
because
so
if you had to get in there with a hand tool, you know, I'm using a pen here to simulate, you'd have to get in,
right. Dig, and
your knuckles would be down to the bone.
That's it, and you end up ruining the tile. You scratch the tile, it's just another place for mold and mildew to grow.
And you can kind of pretend like you're a construction worker on one of those. I'm thinking about our four-year-old son.
Yeah.
I don't even know what
little mini jackhammer.
I'm not going to say you should give this.
You're literally the most important person in my life. I don't even know what you're talking about.
No, I'm thinking about, you know, like, you know, your imagination. You've
got some diorama I've set up, like that show with the guy in the radio.
I do.
What's the name of that? The orange suit?
I don't know.
Oh, it's on Nickelodeon. Jack watches it.
It's been too many years since I've had to watch those.
DJ Lance.
Oh, DJ.
What's the name of that show?
DJ Lance Rock. Go Gabba Gabba.
Somebody Google Gabba Gabba.
Yeah. That's what I think is happening right now.
But, exactly.
Okay.
I haven't. Mine's a 16-year-old. At least I don't think he's watching that.
You're past Go Gabba Gabba.
Yeah,
exactly.
I would not recommend that.
Now, for getting paint on the walls,
yes.
Wow.
Solution number two.
So
I
solution
love it.
Number. Thank you.
Yeah.
So solution number two is again. This is there are lots of things in the market that have to do with holding on to a little bucket or something while you paint. One of the big things that is a problem is professionals or anybody that paints, they'll try to hold it like this when they're using it out of a paint can.
Yes.
When you're cutting in around in the corners, you basically want to have about 2 inches of paint within a bucket or inside of a paint can. And so people will walk around like this, and the next thing you know, their thumb feels like it's going to fall off. And it's very uncomfortable. So we came up with this little tool. It's a multi-tool that fits on these little quart pieces. It also fits on two quart, and it becomes a little handle. So you'll be able to put it on there, and you can carry it this way or that way. It's got a little brush holder on there, a magnet for the brush holder. It also cleans the brushes off. So it's got a little toothpiece here, so you can clean all the stuff out of the brush afterwards.
No way.
It's got this piece, actually, you put your roller through here, and it cleans off the rollers as well. It cleans all the paint off of that. It'll open your paint cans. I mean, there's so many little things that this thing does, and we're talking about a $5 item at the
most. And it just looks like a little hook.
That's it.
But it does how many things?
Well, when it's incomprehensible, there's so many of my
things. It's incomprehensible how many things that this can do.
When it comes to solutions, little things are big things.
Yes, they make the difference.
We have to take a break. We'll be back with more from the National Hardware Show and the High Tools booth. More My Fix It Up Life.
A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. I knew if I had my chance, I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. February made me shiver with every paper I delivered. Bad news on the doorstep. I couldn't take one more step. Well, I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside today. Music died. Bye-bye, Miss America. I drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Good old boys drinking whiskey
back inside my Fix It Up life with my wife, Teresa.
And my husband, Mark. And we are having a fabulous time in Las Vegas at the National Hardware Show.
And one, this, that, Tim Williams, timwilliams.com, by the way.
Very nice, Tim.
Singing one of the seminal American classics.
From the
70s. Love that song.
Don McLean, My Dear Friend Don, and Vincent, Starry, Starry Night, Paint Your Palette, Blue and Gray. Wonderful songs.
And that voice who is singing us into calm coolness is Ed Begley Jr., Enviro Activist.
That
term up for
very
you.
Very nice. I'm going to run with that. That's very good. Activist. I like it.
Yeah.
Activist.
Enviro Activist. Yeah.
Enviro Activist. I'm using it. Thank you. Is there a copyright agreement we need to sign?
Actually, it's 900 pages and you're sitting on it.
Okay.
So, yeah. Yeah. I'll email it to you later.
Very nice.
Well, I think it's a perfect name for you because you are an Enviro Activist.
Thank you.
And you are here at the show because you have an epiphany.
I do. I had an epiphany.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
I know.
And it's a shower-saving device, a water-saving device that you use in your shower. It's not a shower head. You keep your shower head. If you have a luxurious shower head, you can keep that. And it saves a lot of water because when you move just a few inches away from what we'll call the zone where you're getting all the water on you, then you want to shave, you want to move back and soap up or what have you. It saves water. It cuts it down to a trickle, a lot less, and keeps the temperature, but you save a tremendous amount of water. So my wife can have a nice long shower without using all that water.
I think that's a very smart move.
It's going to keep. It's going to be in lieu of marriage counseling. We're going to buy this device.
It's probably a lot less expensive.
Yeah, long showers, okay? I take a Navy shower. I take like maybe a two-minute shower.
What's a Navy shower?
A Navy shower, it's a term that came from being on shipboard. You have a limited amount of water on board the ship, you know, between ports and between, you know, whatever's going on in a war. And so that amount of water, you can only get wet. Turn the water right back off after you as a Navy, serviceman or man or woman, you get wet, turn it right back off, then you lather up and scrub up and do everything you're doing, and then you rinse it back off. There's only two times using water, beginning of the end. That's the Navy shower.
And then you just stand there and do whatever you need
stand
to do.
Stand whatever you're doing.
Shaving and so forth.
Shaving
and
what have you, but without the water running, because you can't let it run all that time. It's wasteful on board a ship. It's called a Navy shower. And that my dad was in the Navy, so that's the kind of shower I've taken my whole life. And Rochelle, my dear wife, takes very long un-Navy showers.
Now, I have to ask a question,
though.
Does
she roll her R's during the shower, too? Roll some soap over here.
Now, which way does Hayden go? As she's getting older, your daughter, as she's getting older, is she going, like, was she going in the direction of you?
Oh, she's going
or your...
Rochelle, big time.
Okay,
no,
okay.
She takes a longer shower than Rochelle, if that's possible. She's a teenager, and teenagers have their own set of rules in the shower and everywhere. And so she's taking long, long showers. So this device is going to save my relationship with my wife and my daughter.
Now, we talked to you a few years ago at the National Hardware Show, and you were getting ready, and you're working on a new house that you're building, and you have it online on BegleyStreet.com.
Right. Yep.
And you had told us that once you got your new lead house finished, you were going to be able to start buying tools again and start maybe doing some projects. Has that sort of come to fruition?
I think that's going to happen. You know, the project has taken a lot longer than we thought. We're over budget. I put in a basement. I added some things. I put in a 10,000-gallon rainwater tank that wasn't part of the original plan. So I've done some what they call change orders. I'm sure that's a term you're familiar with. And so we'll see if I can afford anything more than a screwdriver when I'm done. But I think I'll have some money for a router, but I don't think about a joint or planer. I'm not sure I'm going to have money for that or another table saw. We'll see.
Holy mackerel. So how does that rainwater collection system work? Is it a cistern in your yard?
A big cistern buried underground. It's like a big, you know, 10,000-gallon water or gasoline tank that's subterranean. You put it underground. Gravity takes it down to there from the rain gutters and the hardscape. Now you've got 10,000 gallons of water that starts at the beginning of the rainy season. By the end of the rainy season, you probably have the full 10. But you can then fill it a bit when it starts to rain, draw down from it. Fill it some more when it rains again over that, you know, like, let's say October to May period where you start to get rain in L.A., maybe even September to May period. And so it's for that period of the year when it's dry for a while, and then it's for the remainder of the year, that full 10,000 gallons, if you fill it up, which you can, believe it or not, then you draw it down over the course of, you know, May through September.
Well, I was able, and I was lucky to do this. I was walking out, and I was able to poach your keynote speech here at the National Hardware Show. I saw maybe 3 minutes of it, and when I say that, I mean I think I understand every word that you said, and will then attribute quotes to you later. Well, one of the things that I happened to walk by while you were saying seemed to be pivotal to your whole speech, which had a lot to do with trees and water and the cycle of having trees and water in the environment.
Yeah, trees are very important to our well-being. They have been through the history of man, and many other species depend on them. So we have taken down a lot of trees. I think the trees that we have left we have to keep in place, and we have some native forests left. We've taken down a lot of native forests and put up tree farms, and they don't always take on steep hills. When you very well-intentioned try to plant new trees where there's been clear cut, they don't always take. And also, to take down, you know, a native forest to put up a tree farm, that's like taking down the Louvre and putting up paint by numbers. It's not quite the same. But they do a lot. So whatever tree farms we have, God bless them, whatever native forests we have, we need to keep those in place and try to, you know, save our forest products as best we can, use them sparingly, and most importantly, save our water. Trees retain a lot of water. They prevent soil erosion. You know, they do a great deal. They alter climate in a positive way to help us with more rainfall, more precipitation. There's a lot that trees do.
Enough trees actually change the climate a little bit?
They've changed it in reverse. That is to say, we've lost so many trees in the Amazon and elsewhere. That is part of climate change, is the loss of trees. They're a wonderful CO2 sink. They sequester CO2 for hundreds, indeed, some trees, you know, 800, 1,000 years. They sequester that carbon for a long time. So when you take them down, chip them up, or let them rot or whatever, that CO2 is released that's been in that tree for, let's say, 800 years. So you want to keep it, you want to plant new trees, then it puts out more oxygen, sequesters more carbon, more new carbon. So trees are a very good thing. And if you look at the history of the people, let's say from Easter Island that are no more, they went extinct, those people who built those stone statues. They deforested themselves into extinction, those people. They've proven that now with the fossil record and the pollen record of how those people went bye-bye. They built those statues and they're gone. Where'd they go? They took down the last tree. That's something scientists have been able to prove over the years. So that's not a good way to go.
That reminds me of the movie The Lorax.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's like the Lorax.
Oh.
We need trees, and
yes.
We need to plant more and keep what we have, keep our native forests, because they are very important to us.
Wow.
And we own them. We all own those native forests. It's not like there's somebody else's. It's like we own the Smithsonian building in Washington. That's our property as a nation. Why would you take down the Smithsonian building because you have a good market for bricks? You wouldn't do that. You want that standing, and you get your bricks elsewhere. That's what you need to do with forest products, I think.
And is that as an enviro activist, is that a public-private thing? Is that a government thing? Is it grassroots?
It's all of that. You know, government has a role because the government pays to build the roads that the forest products people go in and use to log. The government is in many ways complicit with a lot of, you know, wasteful practices with lumber. So I'm not saying no forest products. I want to be crystal clear. Use them where you have to. But I'm building my house, for instance, out of steel. That's also a very good way to build. A lot of commercial building is with steel, as you know.
Yeah.
So with building a steel residential structure, the fire marshal loves you. The termite treatment people hate you because they'll have no work in my home. So it's very good, and it's very good in earthquake. There's a lot good about building with steel, and so I'm building with steel.
Are
right
you
now.
Doing steel framing, light gauge steel studs, that kind of steel frame?
And there's some structural steel, too. There's some red iron, and there's some heavy steel. It's not all light gauge. There's some very heavy gauge steel that's involved in it too, but it's a wonderful house, going to be very, very sturdy, and then we'll do stucco over that, and it won't be one of those like steel and glass homes, if that's what you're asking. It'll be
I wasn't asking that. No, it's not like this big wide open all windows.
It's a French Mediterranean design and there's some glass in it, certainly in the south facing side, but that of course with the overhang, a passive solar design, so summertime the sun never hits the glass, but wintertime it does.
What's the style? Oh, you just said it.
French Mediterranean.
French Mediterranean.
And can people go to onbegleystreet.com to
yes.
watch the videos and find out more information about what you're doing?
They can see pictures of it. Yeah, they'll see pictures of artists drawing a rendering of the house.
Now, how much say has your daughter had involved or in what you're doing in the house? Has she said, no, 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 or really, I found this out. I would like to have this in my room or in the family room or something else in the house?
She wants to have some say over the color of paint and all that, but structurally, she's fine with the amount of space that she has. It's going to be more space than she has right now in our very modest 1,600-square-foot house. The house will be a little bit bigger than that and two-story, so I'll get my solar panels out of the shade of the oak tree, the beautiful oak tree that's on the property. And so I'll have 10 kilowatts of unshaded, wonderful Panasonic, highly efficient panels. So that's going to be good to have 10 kilowatts. Right now I have 6, but there's a lot of shading issues. My wonderful neighbors to the south, who I love, they were putting up a second story right when I was putting my solar. So I have shading starting. Unintentional. They didn't know I was doing solar. I didn't know they're doing a second story. So starting in October and ending in March, I get a fair amount of shading, which is not good for solar panels.
No, that is not good.
Well, back to the all systems working together, the public, the private, grassroots, all that kind of thing happening so we can protect our forests but harvest them as well. Did you learn about that kind of legal wrangling when you were on the West Wing?
I did. Seth, what was my name? I was a senator. My name was Seth somebody. I can't remember. But it was a very good thing on that. What a wonderful show. Aaron Sorkin is such a great writer, and that was a terrific show. I was honored to be on that just one episode, but I really liked that show.
We happened to catch that episode. You were great on that, and you pulled off the whole Aaron Sorkin, you know, rollicking soliloquies of statistics and all these different things. As an actor who plays all kinds of different roles, was that particularly hard, easy? Did you like it?
No, good words are always easy to learn. I just did a David Mamet play at the Mark Taper Forum in L.A., 114 pages of almost all me yapping away. I talk nonstop for 114 pages, but it's David Mamet dialogue, so it's very good. So it was easy to learn. And it's the same with Aaron Sorkin's words. It was easy to learn because it was good dialogue. And it was good. I like the idea of everybody in that show was coming at him from the right, and so they had me coming at him from the left and attacking him from that side. It was very funny and very good.
Oh, that's funny. You know, I was enjoying watching it, and we caught it just...
Actually, recently, we're rewatching them on Netflix right now, The West Wing, and because we love that show.
Oh, our connection to it,
yes,
too, is
the
writing is just off the charts.
Off the charts.
Oh, it's
so good.
It's so good, and the character interaction, all that. But in terms of reaching out to a role or a role reaching out to you, is it the language that...
It's the language. So there's a rhythm and there's a poetry to good language, and you look for that. You don't get it all the time, but when you do with people like that, you know, I've worked with, you know, David Mamet, Aaron Sorkin, Larry Kasdan. I've worked with really good writers over the years, so I'm very lucky to work with people who love language and write it very well.
We're going to have to write ourselves into a break.
We are, unfortunately.
That's my epiphany. I did it.
There it is.
Yes.
You worked it in. You did it. Epiphany.
At the High Tools booth with Ed Begley Jr. Check him out at Begley Street, his LEED certified project. And check us out after the break or My Fix It Up Life.
When that fire cone blows, I will be coming home.
Rebuilding Together believes that everyone deserves to live in a safe and healthy home. For nearly 25 years, Rebuilding Together has provided critical home repairs for low-income homeowners in need. With support from volunteers and skilled professionals, Rebuilding Together affiliates complete 10,000 rebuild projects every year, working to revitalize and stabilize vulnerable neighborhoods and communities across the country. Join Rebuilding Together and rebuild in your community. Find out how you can make a difference and get involved at rebuildingtogether.org.
Got paint prep? Do it the Hyde way, not the hard way, with Hyde's 14-in-1 multi-tool. It scrapes paint, spreads spackle, sets nails, it even cleans rollers. It screws and unscrews just about anything. There's even a bottle opener. Buy it online at Amazon.com.
Back inside My Fix It Up Life, we're at the end of our show.
So go to MyFixItUpLife.com and check out our YouTube videos, go to Facebook, Twitter.
Check out our pins on Pinterest and email us at info@MyFixItUpLife.com. because we want to hear from you, hear your triumphs and tribulations, see what you're making at your house.
And meet us here next week for more My Fix It Up Life.
Sometimes we agree just to agree. Sometimes we laugh in referee. So glad you brought me to Heidi tonight. Into my Fix It Up Life.com. This is my Fix It Up Life. This is my Fix It Up Life.